Turn with me, if you would, this evening to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We're going to read through the first 11 verses. And look, while we're reading, we're going to focus on 4 points. One, Christ is our willing Savior. And I think you see that through the text. Our willing Savior. Two, Christ alone was sought. When the guards came and they were, whom seek ye? Christ alone is sought. Three is none. None. As in, of all that the Father gave us me, I should lose none. None. And four is Christ alone. Christ alone. So when we look through here, listen for those 4 points and we'll talk about them. Starting in verse 1, chapter 18 of John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. You notice that he is in italics. Jesus said unto them, I am. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. The saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? We'll end our reading there. Christ is willing. He's our willing Savior. That's his character. It's an attribute of God, of course. Christ is willing, but it's his very character. All through this passage, Christ could have walked away if he would have wanted to. He could have walked away. We sing that song, He could have called 10,000 angels, right? He could have walked away, but he willingly went to be crucified. How many times do we see documented through the scriptures those times that Christ, he walked away from the angry crowds? It wasn't his time. He passed through the midst of the Jews when the Jews took up stones to stone him earlier in John. He just passed through their midst, untouched, unharmed. Not a hair of his head was harmed. It wasn't his time. It wasn't his time. His time had not yet come. Numerous opportunities to escape are documented even here in this text, showing us that Christ is our willing sacrifice. That's his character. That's who he is. He's our willing sacrifice. Look again there in verse 6. As soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell unto the ground. And in verse 11, Jesus said unto Peter, Put thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He's our willing sacrifice. Christ is fully and completely willing. He's completely willing in love. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to turn to a lot of scriptures this evening, so bear with me. But I'm prayerful that I've been blessed by this. I'm prayerful that you are too. I want to see the scriptures. Christ is fully willing in love. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 in the first two verses. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us in the same manner. Walk in love in the same manner as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He's willing in love, and in this manner, he's willing in love. Christ is willing in justice. Turn over a few more pages to Romans chapter 1. Excuse me, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Christ is willing in justice. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation which them are in Christ Jesus, because he was willingly made subject. Christ was willingly made subject to full justice for sin on the cross. Full justice. He's fully willing in love. He's fully willing in justice. He's fully willing in righteousness. Christ willingly made his righteousness our righteousness. Rather, Christ is our righteousness. He's fully willing in righteousness. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Fully willing in love. Fully willing in justice. Fully willing in righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He's fully willing in righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. He's fully willing in obedience and submission to the Father's will. Matthew chapter 26, when Christ prayed in Gethsemane, he said, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. He's fully willing in submission to the Father. Thy will be done. And look back in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of them that sent me. Christ's will has always been perfectly matched with God the Father's will. And what is the Father's will? Look in the next two verses there in John chapter 6. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Everyone may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. Christ is willing in love, willing in justice, willing in righteousness, willing in perfect obedience and submission to the Father's will. His will is in tune. It's meshed. It's one. God and the Father are one. He's fully willing. That's his character. That's an attribute. That's his character. That's who he is. He's our willing sacrifice for sin and for sinners. And Christ's will is the only will. You know, we hear that term free will all the time. Christ's will is the only will that's free. His is the only will that's not subject to sin. His is the only will that is independent, and his will is free. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. His will is free. When my will is free, when I have a few free minutes in my day, whenever that is, when my will is free, humanly speaking, I please myself. I sit on the couch, I watch football, I eat chips, I sleep in. When my will is free, when my time is free, I use that time in my will please myself, do things for me, right? Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, This is His will, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I use my time, my will, humanly speaking, when it's free, for myself. But Christ's willingness is His character, for the joy that was set before Him, His willingness. He joyfully endured the cross. He's willing. He joyfully endured the cross, that He not lose one that the Father had given Him. Do you know what Christ is not willing to do? Look over in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Our willing Savior. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish. Christ our Savior is our willing Savior, willing in love, willing in justice, willing in righteousness, willing in obedience, not willing that any should perish. Christ our willing sacrifice. Back in our text in John chapter 18, Christ is our willing Savior. Christ alone was sought. Christ alone was sought. Look in verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Look in verses 7 and 8. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. He alone was sought. These soldiers represent justice. And justice is looking only for Christ. Ezekiel 33 states that the Lord God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No pleasure in the death of the wicked. How is that? Why is that? No pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's because the eternal death of the wicked never satisfies God's justice. Through all eternity, the eternal death never satisfies His justice. I think, you know, frequently when I hear people serving life sentences or in the electric chair, and I know, humanly speaking, that's our version of justice is served, right? And the punishment fits the crime, justice is served. But is the victim ever satisfied by that? I would think not. If I hate to even say this, I lost a family member. The criminal that did that, then being put to death in the electric chair, justice is served, but I'm not satisfied. I want my family member back, right? Justice is never satisfied. And such it is with the death of a sinner. Justice is done. The eternal death of my soul outside of Christ deserves hell. And justice is done, but God's never satisfied. An eternity of my eternal death can never satisfy God's justice. God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Christ alone was sought. Justice seeks Christ only. That sinner's death can never finish paying that debt that we have to God. There's never any full satisfaction. The debt's never fully paid, but not so with Christ. John saw Christ and he declared, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's gone. Satisfied. When Christ was crucified, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, right? Open access to the mercy seat, because justice is satisfied. Romans 4:25 declares that Christ was raised again for our justification. Fully satisfied. In the way that the eternal death of a sinner never can. Christ alone was sought. Why did these soldiers seek Christ alone? You see, justice, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. Because God's justice can be satisfied only and by nothing but Christ alone. God's justice is satisfied. God's law is satisfied. Completely satisfied by God alone. By Christ alone. and only by Christ alone. So Christ alone was sought. Three, none. And I thought that was just an interesting, kind of unusual point in a message, none. But I tend to write these because I'm so easily distracted. This helps me remember throughout the week. A point like that that kind of jumps out, none. Maybe my mind can grab a hold of that and hold on to that throughout the week. So that tomorrow, when I'm eating lunch, my mind's on a million different things. Maybe I'll remember none. 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 Look at verses 8 and 9. Jesus answered, I've told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. None. Because of who Christ is, he's the Son of God, he's worthy. Because of what Christ has done, Isaiah 53 states, he's poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. Made intercession for the transgressors because of who Christ is, because of what Christ has done, and the fact that even now Christ is seated on the right hand of God Almighty, his sacrifice, making intercession for us, because of who Christ is, what Christ has done, where Christ is now, because he alone is Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, both man and God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That Jesus Christ, because of who he is, he can say what he says there at the end of verse 9. Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Perfection. None. Because of who Christ is, he can say that. I'll lose none. Look back a page into John chapter 17. Starting in verse 9. I pray for them. This is Christ in his prayer. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Christ will lose none. Look back a few more pages in John chapter 6. And this is our comfort, because if one step of this was left in my hand, if one ounce of it was left in my hand, if it wasn't all, he's just saying the promises of God, promise of God, Christ says, I will lose none. If that wasn't a promise of God, if there was anything left of that to me, I'd have no confidence tomorrow. If I remembered the word none, I'd have no hope in that. But this isn't Jonathan's promise, and this isn't anything on me, and this isn't anything on you. This is Christ said, of all that thou hast given me, I will lose none. And I can settle down in that a little bit. So tomorrow at lunch, when I think of the word none, I can get some confidence in that. Christ says, of all those that thou hast given me, I will lose none. John chapter 6, starting in verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. None. Christ will lose none. Because his sacrifice is enough. What does Romans 5 say? where sin abounded, and sin abounded great. Sin abounds great. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Much more. His sacrifice is enough. He'll lose none. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. None. Our willing sacrifice, our willing Christ. Christ that justice seeks, Christ that satisfies justice. That Christ will lose none. And I can take comfort in that. Christ alone. Look back in our text there in John 18. Christ alone. Look there in verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away. Christ was alone. He made a way out for his disciples, and his disciples forsook him. Christ was alone. He hung on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ was alone. Imagine being alone in a place. No friends, no protection, no advocate, no lawyer, no defense, no mercy among these heathens, these unjust heathens that are really are out to get him. They're unjust and they want blood. And he's alone in the hall of justice. He's alone. Christ is alone. He's led alone to Caiaphas. He's alone in the hall of justice. He's hall of judgment. He's alone with Pilate. He's alone being scourged. Alone. He's alone while our fathers, this is us, our human race, while our fathers pushed thorns down into his scalp, he was alone. When they plucked out his beard, when they slapped him, when they spit upon him, he was alone. No advocate, no lawyer, no friend, nobody to help. No mercy, no mercy. Christ was alone. Alone when the children of physical Israel, when faced with Christ or Barabbas, what did we say? Give us Barabbas. The children of the race that God protected, brought out of Egypt, passed them through the Red Sea with water on both sides, provided for, protected them, handed them the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. These are his people that said, give us Barabbas. And Christ was alone. The whole world knew that these were a special and peculiar protected people of Jehovah. The whole world knew the Jehovah name because of the mighty works that he had done for these people. That while Christ was alone, he said, give us Barabbas. These people. We read Rahab's testimony, which I'll read again. But before services, we read, she said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror has fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard, everyone knew who Jehovah was because of how he protected these people. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. These are his people. We've heard of Jehovah. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. We know the Lord your God. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Those people, the Lord your God, those people, their children, when faced with God, Christ or Barabbas, faced with their Jehovah, or a robber and a murderer, said, give us Barabbas. And when Christ was betrayed by his particular people, physically speaking, fleshly speaking, fleshly Israel, when he was alone. When Pilate said to the same children, to the same people, is this your king? They answered, we have no king, but Caesar. They chose Caesar, they chose Barabbas. Christ was alone, rejected by men. Absolutely no different than what we do today. Left to ourselves, left to myself, any choice but Christ, right? We'll not have this man reign over us. Any choice but Christ, left to left to ourselves any choice but Christ. Christ was alone. He was rejected by men. He was alone, bearing the sin of his people in his body on the tree. And he was alone. He was alone when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How thou hast forsaken me. Our willing Savior was alone. And he went into this willingly. Eyes wide open. He knew exactly. He went in willingly. He was left alone with man's evil will to do with what they would. Even as terribly as Job was tried. Those trials of Job went awful. Even as terrible as those trials were, the Lord restrained. The Lord restrained. As said in Psalm 76, the remainder of wrath God does restrain. God restrained the remainder of his wrath for Job. Not for Christ. Not for our Savior. Christ was alone. God did not restrain his wrath. Christ bore it alone. Christ accomplished salvation alone so that none of his children will ever be alone. None of his children will ever be left alone. We're not alone in this life. Didn't Christ, even here in our text, he provided for his disciples, right? If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. He provided for his disciples. We're not left alone here in this life. Even from the cross, didn't Christ provide for his mother? Disciple, behold your mother, is what he said to John, right? He provided for his mother, even from the cross. We're not left alone, even in this world. We're not left alone. Christ was alone, so that we never are. Not in this world. We're certainly not ever left alone, not for a minute in salvation. Not in God's purpose before the world was formed. Where were you, right, when the hills were made? The water is, of all the oceans in the earth, or as a drop in my hand. Where were you? Where were you? Where were you when God's purpose, before the world was even formed, where were you? He doesn't leave us alone when he sends his Spirit to call us in regeneration, point us to Christ. He doesn't leave us alone to keep ourselves either. We're not left alone. We're not left alone in this world. We're never, never left alone in salvation either. We're not left to keep ourselves. Christ will deliver us by himself all the way to glory. We're not left alone. All the way to glory. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Christ will deliver us by himself. And you know, it's more than just error. It's heresy and it's disrespectful. Just disrespectful to Christ to say that God, who formed the world and did it perfectly and saw that it was good and accomplished everything in forming the world, And God who planned and accomplished salvation, Christ who willingly, by himself, in love, went to the cross, will leave anything undone? That one thing, and this is what our hearts think, where our sinful flesh is still drawn to this, that he would leave one thing undone for us? That doesn't even make logical sense. That doesn't even make logic. That is pure rebellion. And heresy is more than just error. It's an affront on God's character that he would leave one thing left undone. Christ did it all alone. Alone. It is finished. So that we are never alone. So that none of this is left to us. And that brings me comfort. None of this is left to us. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28. These are familiar scriptures. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And the next verses go over how Christ alone did it all. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. Here's our part. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, even now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, that hasn't covered it, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ will deliver us by himself all the way to glory. We're not called to do anything with that. This is a declaration. Our hearts rejoice and worship to that. This isn't, there's nothing in these scriptures or texts to try to convince us then that we should do anything. This is a declaration. We believe and we rejoice and we worship this worthy Christ. That's what we do. Because Christ has done it all. He shall lose none. How can we be alone? Christ who loses none joins us to him. Look back again in John chapter 17. We'll look at just a couple more verses, then we'll be done. But how could we be alone? John chapter 17, starting in verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me. As thou, meaning in like manner. That they all may be one in the same manner, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as, in the same manner as, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me, as loved me, as thou hast loved me. In the same manner. We can't describe the Trinity. How are God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three, yet in one? Even as, in the same manner that we are one with Christ, in that same manner, how can we be alone? Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. This is talking about husbands and wives. Chapter 5, starting in verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh. That's a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ and the church. One. That's a great mystery. Christ and the church are one. Christ accomplished salvation alone, and therefore we are never alone. We are never alone. Our Lord, Christ Jesus, He's the willing sacrifice. He's the willing Savior. He alone was sought. He alone was sought. He alone was sacrificed so that He would lose none. He would lose none. And He did it all alone. Well, I pray that's a blessing throughout the remainder of your week. You're dismissed.